Okay, everybody. Today has actually been a very difficult day. It was the departure of my dear godbrother and friend, His Holiness Bhakti Churu Maharaj. So, this evening we're going to have some memories. Of course, not only myself speaking, but other devotees who may have some memories they'd like to speak about with concerning Bhakti Churu Maharaj. So first, I'm going to chant the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas. As you're all aware, it's also the commemoration of the disappearance day of Sanatan Goswami, as well as the disappearance day, as well as Guru Purnima. So basically, it is an extremely auspicious day in the Vaishnav calendar. And Guru Purnima, of course, is a day in which the Guru is worshipped, and Sanatana Goswami is considered to be the actual Guru of all of Braj. So Bhakti Churu Maharaj leaving on this particular day has some significance. So first we'll chant the prayers to the departed Vaishnavas, and then we'll read the translation. Jaya Nilo Prema Dana Koruna Prachu Jaya Nilo Prema Dana Koruna Prachu Heno Prabhu Kota Gela Acharya Taku Heino Prabhu Kota Gela Acharya Taku Kahamura Swarupa Kaha Sanatan Kaha Mora Swarupa Kaha Sanatan Kadasa Ragunatha Hatita Pavan Kadasa Ragunatha Patita Pavan Kahamora Bata Juga Kaviraj Kahamora Bata Yuga Kaviraj Ekakale Kota Gela Goranatara Ekakale Kota Gela Goranatara Vashane Kutibo Mata Anale Pashibo Vashane Kutibo Mata Anale Pashibo Goranga Gunera Nere Kota Gele Babo Goranga Gunera Nere Kota Gele Babo Se Sabasangira Sange Ye koi lo vilas se sabat sangir sange ye koi lo vilas se sangana paya kande narutamudas Se sangana paya kande narotamo Das Ye Anilo Prematana Kuruna Rachu Ye Anilo Prematana Kuruna Rachu. So I'll read the translation to this poem by Narottama Das Thakur. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta, and where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So, Omagana Timadanda Shah Gananjana Shlakya Chakshu Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. All glories to His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Churu Maharaj. Bhakti Churu Maharaj Ki Jai. So, first I'll try to be a little philosophical. That we know that a pure devotee has both a Vani and a Vapu. That means he has a transcendental message as well as his form here in this material world. So, as the pure devotee comes into this material world, through the form that he manifests, he sets an example for all of us how to perform devotional service. And in doing so, he becomes our role model, someone who we can look up to, someone who we can depend on, someone who is there for us. So this applies not only in relationship with one spiritual master, but amongst the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, myself included. We have very loving relationships between us. And that means we depend on each other and we draw strength from each other. So it's not exactly the same as a disciple in relationship with the guru, but it's similar and can be compared in that way. So as far as Bhakti Churu Maharaj is concerned, in my own relationship with him, he's been my close friend for many years. I'm actually writing something right now about his life or about my relationship with him. In fact, in my own will and my own power of medical attorney, if something happens to me, he was the one who was supposed to make all the decisions for me. Like if I was incapacitated or when I leave this body. So that's how close he was with me. And many of you don't know that he used to live here in North Carolina and be part of our community here. And he was dedicated to serving Srila Prabhupada in a very holistic way. I mean, generally you think of a sannyasi as being someone who's very renounced and detached from the material world. And that is not actually how a Vaishnava sannyasi is. We hear about Sanatana and Rupa Goswami and how, in their own pastimes, they would actually go to different grahasthas' houses and meet with them in Braj and give them advice about all sorts of different subject matters. So it's not only that Rupa and Sanatana and Goswami were preaching the philosophy, the pure philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but they were practically engaged on all levels helping devotees in their material as well as spiritual lives because of their immense amount of compassion. Now I perceive that in Bhakti Churu Maharaj's activities too. In fact, the reason Bhakti Churu Maharaj was here in North Carolina was that he was trying to set up an interesting thing. He was trying to set up a business to help maintain the grahasthas in our movement. So that shows a very broad-minded approach, someone who is compassionate to everyone. As we know about Vaishnavas, we're chanting every day, Manjikalpa Turubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vyayibhacha. So we use the expression Kripa Sindhu meaning an ocean or unlimited mercy. And actually I saw that in Bhakti Churu Maharaj, and amongst other wonderful qualities, another wonderful quality that I observed in Bhakti Churu Maharaj was his, as described about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Dira Dira Jana Priyo Priyakaro Nirmatsuro Pujito. What does that mean? That he was dear to everybody because he had no envy of anybody. Generally in this material world, people are envious of other people and they try to put other people down. Whereas Bhakti Churu Maharaj was always trying to pull people up and encourage people. And whenever you met him, you would feel extremely encouraged in devotional service. And not only that, his Vaishnava hospitality towards all sorts of devotees was amazing. I remember when he was here in North Carolina that he would invite me over for lunch sometimes. And that's when I used to eat pizza. And he would invite me over for lunch and he would sometimes cook or have his personal cook and then we'd sit down and eat pizza. So we had many pastimes like that. He actually allowed me to stay in his quarters in Mayapur during the GBC meetings so I wouldn't be inconvenienced. And so many instances that I can recall. And every single time I was with him, I did not detect any fault or anything that was outside of pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada actually recognized that too. Srila Prabhupada, upon first meeting Bhakti Churu Maharaj, shortly thereafter, basically almost immediately thereafter, gave him first and second initiation. Most of us, even in the time of Srila Prabhupada, had to wait. I mean, I had to wait 6 months for first initiation and a year for second initiation. But Bhakti Churu Maharaj got both initiations almost immediately because Prabhupada recognized him. And then 3 months later, Srila Prabhupada gave him sannyas. And that's amazing. And then Srila Prabhupada appointed him as his secretary for the Indian mission. Simply amazing. Another quality that comes to mind was Bhakti Churu Maharaj's fearlessness in preaching Krishna consciousness. He really wasn't concerned so much with the materialistic opinions of others. And even before he joined Krishna consciousness, this is a story that perhaps none of you really know, that you hear about his studying in Germany before he came back to India and joined Srila Prabhupada's mission. But Bhakti Churu Maharaj, the way he got to India is he actually hitchhiked from Germany. He told me this story personally. He hitchhiked from India all the way to Germany. And that takes a lot of courage. And then another point is that during the final pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, he was serving Prabhupada in the most intimate way. He and Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj were completely absorbed in Prabhupada's service and Prabhupada was completely dependent on him. So all these are indications of his close, eternal relationship with Prabhupada. When I'm talking about eternal, I'm talking about someone who is Prabhupada's eternal associate or eternal servant. So based upon this information, we can be absolutely sure that Bhakti Churu Maharaj is serving Prabhupada now or going on with the service to Srila Prabhupada. There's no doubt in my mind. However, the lamentation is not for Bhakti Churu Maharaj himself. The lamentation is for ourselves because we are very much missing his association. You don't realize what you have until you miss it, until it's gone. very much missing his association. And so what do we do about this missing his association? Of course, the first thing that we all do is lament. That's the first step, and that's brought out by Srila Prabhupada in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in relationship with the Puranjana story, how this queen, Malayadwaja, she is lamenting the passing of her husband, the king, and in doing so, Prabhupada comments about the disciples' feeling upon the passing of the spiritual master. And he relates this to the wife's feeling upon the departure of the husband, the chaste wife in the traditional Indian culture, that the wife is ready to leave the planet or leave with the husband because her whole life is dedicated to serving the husband. So Prabhupada relates it like that, but then he says one should actually be dedicated to serving the mission of the spiritual master when the spiritual master leaves, or of one's god brother, one's close friend, like Bhakti Chumaraj was for me, to serving the mission. So what is Bhakti Chumaraj's mission? Well, the mission is, of course, of compassion. We understand that. But I think above everything, his mission was, and is, to please his divine grace Srila Prabhupada and to be a cooperative member of Srila Prabhupada's society. Up to the very end, I mean, we have this information that when there was some debate as to whether Bhakti Chuhu Maharaj should go under the respirator in the hospital or not, he actually left the decision up to the GBC. Now, what does that mean? That means that his whole life was dedicated to Prabhupada's mission. Because Prabhupada left us instructions, which Bhakti Chuhu Maharaj repeated many, many times, about love and cooperation and remaining faithful to Srila Prabhupada's mission regardless of the situation. And of course, this is a lesson that all the followers and disciples of Bhakti Chuhu Maharaj need to imbibe if they haven't imbibed it yet, because this was his mood. It was Guru Seva to the maximum, to serve his guru and to please his guru to the maximum. And Prabhupada left us very explicit instructions as to what it meant to serve guru. In other words, to serve Prabhupada's mission. So Bhakti Chuhu Maharaj's mission is non-different from the mission of his divine grace Srila Prabhupada. And it's very easy to understand that. So to remember him, we need to become faithful followers or remain faithful followers of Srila Prabhupada's mission, as Bhakti Chuhu Maharaj did, and ready to do anything. I, as a member of the GBC, I can say that Bhakti Chuhu Maharaj was ready to do anything. He was a surrendered soul, not only to Srila Prabhupada, but to Srila Prabhupada's GBC. Even if he disagreed with a particular decision of the GBC, Bhakti Chuhu Maharaj went along with it because he knew that that was Prabhupada's desire to actually cooperate. So, anyway, so in my remembrance of Bhakti Chuhu Maharaj, it makes me more determined to actually be a faithful servant of Srila Prabhupada's movement, which is the very essence of Bhakti Chuhu Maharaj's life. And in doing so, of course, he was able to manifest Radha and Krishna and Shishi Gauranitai and Mayapur and Braj for so many devotees. So I'm expressing my condolences and also accepting condolences, because I'm also pretty upset on this particular day, losing my dear godbrother, my dear friend, and asking all of you to dedicate yourself to his mission and use these days in which he's being remembered, as an impetus to do this, and also use his final pastimes in the hospital. Actually, these are pastimes. It's not, he wasn't in the hospital because of coronavirus. And this is looking at things in a material fashion. To think that he was in the hospital because of the virus, that's simply external. In all the devotees' pastimes, as well as the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, there's external reasons and internal reasons. For example, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came down to teach Sankirtan, which is an external reason, important, but the internal reason, he came down to actually understand the love that Radharani feels for him, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. And he came down to appreciate himself from her perspective and appreciate his own beauty and his the happiness that Radharani. So this is an internal thing going on. So with Bhakti Chura Maharaj's being in the hospital for so long, it's not simply something mundane. It's not mundane at all. What it is, just like when Prabhupada left this planet, he was drawing the devotees closer. Like when Bhakti Chura Maharaj was in the hospital, every day we would read the notices about Bhakti Chura Maharaj, and every day the devotees were being drawn closer and praying to Krishna more and understanding our dependence on the Vaishnavas and understanding the nature of this world. So there's a lesson that he was teaching us even in the final days. I remember also the passing away of my dear godbrother, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He was teaching us lessons in the final days. Prabhupada was teaching us lessons in the final days. It's called the final lesson. And you can actually read more about those lessons of Prabhupada in Bhakti Chura Maharaj's book, which we have here, An Ocean of Mercy. And you can read also in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's book about these same things. So I would like to read, and I'm going to let you all read, a passage from the Srimad Bhagavatam that actually may help us understand what is happening right now with Bhakti Chura Maharaj in a very spiritual light. So I'm going to share a screen with everybody. Let's see, where is that? There it is. This is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, a third canto, 16th chapter, text 37. Now it's the purport specifically I want to make reference to. But I'll read the verse first. My dear sons, the Lord is the controller of the three modes of nature and is responsible for the creation, preservation, and dissolution of the universe. His wonderful creative power, Yoga Maya, cannot be easily understood even by the masters of yoga. That most ancient person, the personality of Godhead, will alone come to our rescue. What purpose can we serve on his behalf by deliberating on the subject? So Prabhupada explains, when something is arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not be disturbed by it, even if it appears to be a reverse according to one's calculations. In other words, this departure of Bhakti Chura Maharaj, I don't need my glasses, this departure of Bhakti Chura Maharaj, we should see it as arranged by Krishna. Everything has to be seen in that way. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashati tashaham napranashami sacha me napranashati. That Krishna says one should see everything, me and everything, and everything in me, and one is never lost to me, and I'm never lost to that person. So we're calculating this is a reverse. And of course, in one sense, for ourselves, it's a reverse because we lose this great devotee's association. But Krishna has a plan. Just like in the case of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj leaving this world, right before he left this world, Tamal Krishna Maharaj appeared to him in a dream and said, it's time to leave, Prabhupada wants you. So we can understand that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is needed somewhere else to serve Krishna, to serve his divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda. So sometimes we have our own calculations, and these calculations are not really in tune with the Supreme Personality of Godhead's desires. Of course, and so in other words, yes, we lament. That's wonderful. It's important to lament the departure. But we should not ascribe any sort of material circumstances to the departure of Bhakti Chura Maharaj, as we should not in the case of Srila Prabhupada or Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. One interesting thing about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's passing away is before he passed away, he actually said a similar thing that Vasudev Dutt said. Vasudev Dutt said, please let me take everyone's karma and let me suffer. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said a similar thing. So there's something very internal, spiritual, amazing that we cannot perceive going on between the Lord and his devotees. So there's nothing material. I mean, whether it has nothing to do with karma, parabdha karma, aparabdha karma, nothing. It's directly Krishna. Because Krishna is personally interceding in the lives of his devotees, especially pure devotees like Bhakti Chu Maharaj. It is directly Krishna. So try to understand that. So it appears to be a reverse. For example, sometimes we see a powerful preacher is killed, or sometimes he's put in difficulty, just as Haridas Thakur was. He was a great devotee who came into this material world to execute the will of the Lord by preaching the Lord's glories. But Haridas was punished at the hands of the Qazi by being beaten in 22 marketplaces. Similarly, Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and Prahlad Maharaj was put through so many tribulations. The Pandavas, who were direct friends of Krishna, lost their kingdom, their wife was insulted, and they had to undergo many severe tribulations. Seeing all these reverses affect devotees, one should not be disturbed. One should simply understand that in these matters, there must be some plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we don't always or usually understand what Krishna's plan is. But Krishna is seeing things from a wider point of view, a wider or higher perspective, the highest perspective. The Bhagavatam's conclusion is that a devotee is never disturbed by such reverses. He accepts even reverse conditions as the grace of the Lord. One who continues to serve the Lord even in reverse conditions is assured that he will go back to Godhead, back to the Vaikuntha planets. Lord Brahma assured the demigods that there was no use in talking about how the disturbing situation of darkness was taking place, since the actual fact was that it was ordered by the Supreme Lord. Brahma knew this because he was a great devotee. It was possible for him to understand the plan of the Lord. So we should take this to heart, that the Lord has some plan. Bhakti Chu Maharaj is preaching, and of course we lament that we no longer have his association, just to summarize, and we dedicate ourselves to his mission, to his sankalpa, his determination. I mean, that's what it means to be a follower or a friend of someone, to understand what he was showing us throughout all of his life and his final mission. And this is the best way to please Bhakti Chu Maharaj. And just like we are pleasing Prabhupada by being dedicated to his mission in spite of whatever reverses may be there. So what I'd like to do is give other people opportunities to say a few words or whatever you'd like to say, and let me unmute everybody. And we have some disciples of Bhakti Chu Maharaj, so perhaps let them go first if someone has something to say. Tomorrow we're going to have some sort of remembrance. I'm not sure of the program. There's a possibility that some devotees will be able to go to Florida to take final darshan of his body, and I'm not sure about that. That was some indication. There's that possibility. And in any case, tomorrow evening's program, at the Sunday program, will be dedicated to Bhakti Chu Maharaj. And then the traditional Vaishnava celebration is done 3 days after the departure of a great soul. And that great soul celebrated by a festival. Maybe it's not a joyous festival, but it's a festival in which prasadam is made by and sponsored by the followers of that great personality and distributed to everybody. And Lord Chaitanya certainly had that sort of festival when Haridas Thakur passed away. And another point is, that Bhaktajur Maharaj is a pure soul. So it's not like an ordinary person passing away. An ordinary person passes away, there's a period of contamination for someone. There's no contamination of anyone. Everybody can continue doing their service. In fact, a pure devotee, even when they pass away, their body can be brought, as it was in the case of Prabhupada, the body can even be brought into the temple or the temples. When Prabhupada passed away, they took Prabhupada's transcendental body on a palanquin and went around Vrindavan and went into all the major Vaishnava temples in Vrindavan. So there's no question of contamination by anybody. And so the point is to be more determined to serve and to remember and to connect, like Prabhupada said, because he was serving his spiritual master's order and mission, he was never separated from his spiritual master. So when we do that, we're all connected together. When being engaged in service, I can say that I'm connected with not only Bhaktajur Maharaj, but with Bhaktatirtha Maharaj, all my dear God brothers and God sisters who have passed from the mortal frame. So would anyone like to say a few words about Bhaktajur Maharaj or remembrances at this particular point? I mean, I've said what I could say. Anybody want to say something? No.
Gurudev, can I speak? Gurudev?
Gopal, or why don't you say something?
Can you hear me okay?
I can't hear you. Maybe one of the settings is off on my computer. Hold on a second. All right.
Can you hear me okay now?
Gopal, you going to say something?
We can hear you.
Can't hear you, even though you're not on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Someone else say something to see if it's a problem is with me.
We can hear him. Brother, we can hear him.
Krishna Priya, say something.
I can hear you and I can hear
Gopal. Problem
Go
is here with me. Hold on a second.
I can hear Gopal.
Hare Krishna.
My glitch.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. I can see where the problem is. Speakers. Try speaking now.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Okay, I can hear now.
He's not a disciple.
You should come speak too.
Kuchipriya, you speaking?
I'm here. I can hear Gopal speak.
Yeah, I know. The problem was my system. Hold on a second. Let me just. Can you say something?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Gopal. Let me just adjust this. Wait a second.
I'm going.
Give me 1 second. This is the first time it's happened. Speakers. Okay. Why don't you say something? I think I can hear now. Gopal?
Yes, Gurudev. Can you hear me all right?
It's very low.
Maybe I should speak closer to the microphone. Is that better?
Hold on 1 second.
We can hear him clearly.
Wait a second. Try speaking now.
How's that? Is that better, Gurudev?
Yeah. Okay, I can hear you well now. Okay, go ahead.
First of all, I want to offer my sincerest condolences for the loss of the association of your dear godbrother. And also want to thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to have met him and spend some time with him. The first time that I met Bhaktajur Maharaj, His Holiness Bhaktajur Maharaj, was in Sridharmayapur. And he was having a combined Vyasa Puja celebration with his godbrother, His Holiness Jai Pitaka Swami. So they were having a side-by-side Vyasa Puja in Srila Jayapataka Maharaj's rooftop rooms in the Lotus Building. And I noticed that, Prabhupada, he spoke so much about no competition in the spiritual world, but actually there is a spiritual version of competition that the devotees are always trying to glorify each other more. And that's exactly what I witnessed on this occasion. During the Vyasa Puja, Bhakti Tri Maharaj would just spend all of his time glorifying Jayapataka Maharaj, saying what a wonderful guru he was and wonderful father to his disciples, wonderful brother. And of course, Jayapataka Maharaj, not wanting to be outdone, he spoke some of the same things about Bhakti Tri Maharaj, and it was very endearing, of course. And then several years later, actually many years later, in Mayapur again, I saw in the temple room during the Bhagavatam class, Srila Bhakti Tri Maharaj was asked to give class, but he asked His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj to join him up on a Vyasa sign just next to him, and the two of them gave class together. And again, His Holiness Bhakti Tri Maharaj spent most of the time just glorifying His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and all the great work that he was doing. And of course, Radhanath Maharaj, in his way, took it very humbly and silently. And then when he was allowed to speak, he wouldn't stop glorifying His Holiness Bhakti Tri Maharaj. So seeing this example of Godbrothers are glorifying and appreciating one another has always been very inspiring for me.
That's very nice. All right, thank you, Gopal. Krishnapriya, you have something to say. You there? Take yourself off mute.
Okay, I'm unmuted now. Namo Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Sai Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Churu Swami Tinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtarine. So this is a very heart-wrenching day for me, like many of the devotees. And I have had the experience that the more you love someone, the deeper you feel separation from them. And we can hear so many words of philosophy and tell us ourselves so many things, but at the same time, there is that feeling of loss, because how rare it is that these great souls come to this very crazy world and they walk amongst us, they care for us. So my won't take much time, but as many devotees know, my personal relationship with Srila Bhakti Tri Swami first started through sound vibration, because I didn't travel. I was here taking care of the temple and the deities. I was the temple president and had pujari at the time, so I wasn't traveling. And then one day somebody gave me there were CDs in that time, a CD of Srila Bhakti Tri Swami singing. And I heard that. And every day I was on the altar, but every day when I did the Nunarti, I would play for the deities and I would just be dancing around everywhere, because somehow or other hearing him sing was very beautiful. Sweet Bengali bhajans opened up a whole world for me of our Gaudiya tradition. And I always had lamented because Srila Prabhupada had left the planet and I didn't have that much association. So I would see pictures of him and he just very much reminded me of Srila Prabhupada, very much reminding me of Srila Prabhupada. So then one day, all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, Radha Golokananda brought him to Nukaloka. And the next thing I knew, there was Bhakti Chu Swami, and he was in the temple room, and he was singing, and first in plain harmonium and singing. And somehow I gave up all shyness, and I told him, Radha Golokananda brought you. They heard you singing, and they said, oh, please bring this great devotee to sing for me. Please bring this devotee to sing for me. So that was how our relationship started. Then I was the temple president, and he never distinguished, you know, between, you know, gender or race or, but he only, you know, saw if someone was doing some service that he would reciprocate. So I was always engaging him, me, in doing different seminars all the time, because he was so much into education, and he wanted the devotees to understand what is Vaishnava etiquette. He wanted the devotees to understand our beautiful tradition of the different Goswamis, and he wanted us to have a deeper understanding of Srila Prabhupada in the context of the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition and our whole disciplic succession. So he was such a great inspiration to me. And so, as everyone knows, he was here, and they were doing the Abhay Charan films, and he had the bar factory. And just always so, so sweet and so kind to all of us. And like Maharaj was saying, you know, he had him for lunch, but he would also have, we would all come over, and he would make sure that the boys, because all the boys were there then doing bhajans, and make sure the boys made things nice. And I think some of my most happiest times with him is that he loved picnics. He just loved picnics. And so he would always arrange that we would all, somehow we'd all be going on trips. Sometimes it was locally, and we would go, you know, to a picnic locally. Other times we would be going to Myrtle Beach to visit one very nice lady that lived there. And we would do a program there, and we would stop along the way and have a picnic. And sometimes we were going up to New Vrindavan, and we would stop and we'd have a picnic. And he always was concerned that everybody had what they needed, everybody was happy, everybody was chanting. And in my own life, when I went through some confusion and difficulty, he said, if you need anything, I'm always here, I can always help you. And I'm very, very grateful that one year he brought me to Ujjain to spend a month there. He wanted me to see the temple and to be there for the festival, so he brought me to India. And just so many times and so many retreats. And so it's just, I see it as, I understand, you know, that he's certainly taken care of by Krishna, not a blade of grass moves. And I know for many of us, it's a wake up call. You know, we hear that one needs to cry for Krishna, but we, you know, what most of the time we cry for something silly, but then when some great Vaishnava goes, then we actually get a glimpse of what it feels like, that kind of emptiness, you know. And I know many devotees have left, and there's many devotees and friends that I've had that I've left, but to be honest, I haven't felt this way since Srila Prabhupada left the planet. And I remember when Prabhupada left, the kind of intense despair that I felt. Of course, I felt despair when Bhakti Tirtha Swami left and the other Vaishnavas. But for me personally, you know, because of Bhakti Chu Swami's involvement in our life and with our temple here and the deities, it just had such a really big impact. So my desire is that... my desire is to be strong, and I want to be here for his disciples and to be able to encourage and help anyone in any way I can. And I have the utmost gratitude that I don't feel that in any way do I deserve to have had the association of such a high class Vaishnava. And this is definitely the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Nityananda that some of us that are not so refined can come in contact with such a high class personality. So as Maharaj was saying, this is the opportunity for us to really, it's an opportunity to really develop our internal relationship with Maharaj. And through the really nice chanting of our japa and through nice chanting of the bhajans and, you know, studying the different books and really, you know, focusing on the importance and remembering to always have those loving Vaishnava relationships. And as he always said that it's very important to cooperate. Please, please cooperate with each other. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Bhakti Chusami Ki Jai. Thank you, Mother Krishna Priya. So, anybody else would like to say something? Rishikesh? Is it Rishikesh there?
No, I don't have.
What's that? Speaking.
I can't speak much over there.
All right, yeah, he's state of shock, actually. It's understandable. Anybody else would like to say something? Glorification of Bhakti Chumash? We're going to have several formal programs over the next few days. I think one program is not enough. It should be, you know, several days of programs dedicated to Bhakti Chumash. And see, who else wants to say something? Ajay Govinda, do you want to say something? Who's that?
It's Champaka, but if Ajay Govinda wants to speak, then I will.
Champaka, why don't you say something? Because
I was really appreciating, Gurudev, what you said about his loyalty to Srila Prabhupada in his movement, ISKCON. I actually was feeling very upset that he was, in my mind, basically bullied into getting onto a ventilator, even though he didn't want to. But with the way that you presented it, my heart just melted that he saw the GBC as representing Srila Prabhupada. And so he surrendered his life, his body, to their desire. And what struck me about that is that even though he's not my Diksha Guru, I've always felt his love. I was hearing someone say how he always had all the time for each person who approached him. He was just very gentle, very attentive to each and every person, whether they were a disciple or not. We were all family to him, and he took care of all of us so sweetly. It's been, yeah, I guess like Mother Krishna Priya said that, you know, he came here, he lived here, he was really a part of our lives and very, very much our family for so long. He actually paid for our family to visit Vrindavan so that my husband could play a role in the Abhay Charan series. It didn't work out because the actor who was playing Srila Prabhupada had a heart attack and had to take a break from filming. But still, there was no question, you know, it's not like Bhakti Shruvaswami then said, oh, you owe me the cost of the flight. It, you know, then it was just like, okay, you know, have a wonderful time in Vrindavan. He was just so, so sweet and giving like that. I actually had something else I wanted to say. But it's slipping my mind. The video that's being shared, it's on the New Goloka WhatsApp group, of his explanation for why he came to America in the middle of a pandemic. It really kind of broke my heart. Srila Prabhupada, he was quoting Srila Prabhupada saying that we're not supposed to just comfortably live in the Dham. We're supposed to go onto the battlefield and preach. He said, so I could stay here in Ujjain, but even though there's this coronavirus, I belong in America. He called America hell. He said, that's where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be in the field preaching. So I got a sense listening to him that he stepped into the fray. He stepped into the battlefield where the virus is raging full force. I mean, America is the epicenter right now of the virus. So he was stepping into the battle. He was stepping into hell. And, you know, we could say that he's now a fallen soldier, but there's no falling in this battle. There's only rising. And we see that in his so-called falling, that he got the entire world, the entire community of devotees. He pulled their minds away from all the, you know, meanderings of the chaos happening in the world right now. And he focused us all on the holy name and on prayer and on gratitude and on crying our hearts out that we could keep him with us, that we could still have his association. In the process, he brought out our anxiety for other Vaishnavas as well. I can speak, of course, for myself, that all of a sudden I'm seeing how I'm here with you, Gurudev, and how I have to not take that for granted. So in his life and in his departure, he's bringing everyone together as a family and to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, and he's arranging that we're crying out for him and for service and for association. Thank you. Thank you, Bhakti Chumaraj. Thank you, dear family of Vaishnavas. Thank you, Gurudev.
Hare Krishna. Yes, that's a very important point, that his coming to America was actually a heroic step to show us the importance of preaching. Even, as I've often said, even when people get very old, they think they should just retire, go to Vrindavan. And Bhakti Chumaraj was about 75 years old. And Prabhupada, of course, was quite old when he came to America. He was 70 and then left this world in his 80s. So Prabhupada didn't consider, and neither did Bhakti Chumaraj consider, that there was ever a time from retiring or just sitting down in the holy dham. In fact, Prabhupada didn't do that until it was actually the final few months or days, basically. So we should remain on the battlefield. Prabhupada actually said that, at one point, said, give me the benediction of dying like a soldier, being like Arjuna on the battlefield. So Bhakti Chumara showed us that we should be like soldiers, ready to fight for Krishna, and able to tolerate anything and risk our lives and to bring people to Krishna's lotus feet. Thank you, Champaka, for that. So, who else wants to say something?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Radha Padma.
Oh, Radha Padma. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Guru Tami.
I would like to say a couple of things about, I don't know if I'll be in a situation to continue, but yeah, there were a couple of personal associations that we had with His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, the time when we went for pilgrimage in the year 2018. So all glories to Srila Prabhupada. And since morning, I'm being reminded of one particular instance and a number of those instances that kept coming during our stay and our association of the divine pilgrimage. The thing was, while traveling, we could, first of all, I mean, I could see that because of you, because of Bhakti Charu Maharaj, because of other great devotees, we could actually see, because we did not get a chance to meet Srila Prabhupada. And because of you all, we are able to actually see, we're actually able to know about Srila Prabhupada. So what happened when we were in the pilgrimage, Srila Bhaktichar Maharaj was actually so kind and caring that it felt like we were in the shelter of a mother, our parents, where he was taking care of every little thing, even accommodation. And every morning and evenings, he used to give us darshan, and he would ask if everything is okay, how's the prasadam, how's everything. And we used to be like, we sometimes didn't understand why Maharaj is asking all these questions from us. It felt like we don't deserve to be asked that way. And we are in a pilgrimage. But it was so caring and concerning that we felt so comfortable in his shelter. I remember one instance where we were going to Jagannath Puri, and we were on the bus to board the plane, and we all were seated. Some of us were seated and there was no seat, and then Bhaktichar Maharaj came in, and both Krishnakanta and I were like a bit, he was standing actually. So we offered him seat and he said, no, I don't want to sit. And then we kept offering, and then he sat on the seat, and then we were looking at him, and it was really nice, nice association to be just looking at him. So after a couple of days, a few days passed, and after a class, I think there was it was an initiation ceremony. It was a long in Bhuvaneshwar. It was a long, long ceremony, actually, after 2-3 hours of sitting and after exhausted. I mean, it might have been exhausting, but then while he was just leaving the pandal, we paid our obeisances as we saw him, and he said, thank you for offering the seat to me. And we were like, Maharaj remembers this. Like, how such a busy person who has so many things in his mind remembers such an insignificant act of offering the seat. And I was like really surprised. And I paid obeisances again and again. And I was just asking for forgiveness that I hope I might not have done any offense. But at the same time, there was so much, the feeling was totally different. And in so many other instances, we could see that all that, like we met Bhaktichar Maharaj for the first time in that pilgrimage. And we understood that he's such a personality, so humble and so caring, that whoever, and so personal, most importantly, he's extremely personal with everybody. And everybody feels like, you know, feels inspired and encouraged under his, in his association, under his shelter. And we today are in total, like, shock as to why this has happened. And thank you, Gurudev, for taking this session and helping us out and giving us that understanding that, yeah, lament, we can lament. Of course, we are really missing his association. Thank you, Guru Maharaj. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to His Holiness, Bhaktichar Maharaj. Bhaktichar Maharaj ki jai.
Thank you very much, Radha Padma. So I have here, there's another Krishnapriya who wants to speak. I guess that's Gopal's Krishnapriya. Am I right or wrong or no? Has her hand up? If not...
Me, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Can I speak, Maharaj?
Okay, so why don't you say something?
Yeah, Hare Krishna Maharaj, Danvat Pranams, all glories to Bhaktichuru Maharaj, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj, I have a small incident that I witnessed in the year 2007. when you had taken us to that South Indian tour, and something that was so special that when Bhakti Charu Maharaj came on the trip and you met him, he was visiting Chota Gopinath temple at that time. And
yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yes, and I cannot forget that meeting of you and Maharaj, how you kept on embracing each other with so much love and affection. And that shows that, like, you know, how much Srila Prabhupada has given you sannyasis, God brothers and God sisters, to teach us the love that we can live with each other as disciples, gurus. And that also reminds me, like, I've experienced something very tiny when Mata Urmila comes here. Mata Jagatarni, I've met that embracing, that love that flows from the souls, great souls like yourselves and disciples of Srila Prabhupada. We have not seen Srila Prabhupada. We miss all this. So thank you very much for giving us this opportunity, Maharaj. And another small incident that happened here in Auckland with my husband, Rajendra. Maharaj came here and Rajendra was sick. And Maharaj's personal touch, his love for everyone around him. So he petted my husband. And then my husband said, oh, Maharaj, because he was sick. So my husband said, so I'm ready to go. I will go and I can make space for everyone up there. And Maharaj just turned around and said, you know what? Tamal Krishna Maharaj said the same thing before he departed. Like, no, he was talking sometime. So these are things that, like, no, the compassion, the love, the mercy that we get from all of you. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for being there for all of us. And my heartfelt condolences to you at the loss of your God brother. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Siddharma. And see, there. We had some other people who had their hands raised. Suresh Rasham, did you want to say something?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yeah, Maharaj.
Your hand up before, so.
Thank you much, Maharaj, for organizing this program. And very, you know, deep loss to lose Guru Maharaj. But he'll be there with us through his dedicated service to Srila Prabhupada. And like we were reading Lilamruta for last few months, and we see how Prabhupada was very dedicated to his Guru Maharaj while translating books and while taking many risks to build so many temples. And we see His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj also very dedicated to Srila Prabhupada in his service and his mission. And we feel so inspired that, you know, we can continue to be dedicated to His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. And a small one or two incidents, like we met Maharaj 8-9 years back in Orlando, Florida. And we didn't know much about Maharaj back then. Then with a few other devotees, you know, we went to meet Maharaj. And just by Maharaj's exceptional compassion, and they fed us so nicely with a delicious prasadam, and that's what attracted us to, you know, to strengthen our faith in Krishna consciousness and the philosophy, nothing else, the compassion of Maharaj and nice service, nice prasadam, feeding us nice prasadam to us, that's what, you know, attracted to His lotus feet. Yeah, Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for arranging this program. Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you very much, Suresh. And we have the hands up. We have Krishna Priya there, and after that, Lalitanga Radha. So, that's another Krishna Priya, I guess. You want to say anything? You got to take yourself off of mute, Krishna Priya, if you're going to say something.
That's the same Krishna Priya. She has a picture of Radha Golokananda. So that's
oh, she already... there's two Krishna. She had two Krishna Priyas?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, there is another Krishna Priya, but she doesn't have her hand raised. The hand raised one is...
Okay. Oh, you got to put your hand down. If you don't. Yeah. So, Lali Tanga, Radha, do you want to say something?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you. First of all, I want to thank you so much for this, solacing class and helping us to see that it is Krishna's desire and will, and nothing with a pure devotee happens away from Krishna's will. That really helps us. And what moves me is to see the love among you God brothers. And I have never heard a class of you without a humor. But now when I see your face, I can see the pain. And the same thing with my Guru Maharaj, Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. And he was trying his best to give us, engage us in prayers more and more and more. And trying to, engage us in service, that I can understand that how pure is Bhakti Charu Maharaj, that even in his passing away in the last few days, the whole world came up. Everybody was chanting with intensity and so much feeling of separation. This wouldn't be possible for a person who's not empowered by Krishna. And we had the opportunity of attending Maharaj's retreat last year in Charlotte. It was about Ramayana. I could just say that whether it's Ramayana or Krishna book or Uddhava Gita, we just have to sit there and it's like a cascade of waterfalls. After the class ends, it looks like we are brought back to this Kali Yuga. Otherwise, he would transport us to whatever the pastimes that he was telling. So I had just written down a small glorification of Maharaj. I would like to read that. So there was a notification. Bhakti Charu Swami is live. I wished it was real. Where to start and what to write about a Mahatma who won all hearts. 75 golden years of glorious service. Books will be written, memories will be spoken for generations. Our dear Lord Krishna, friend of the distressed, let us take shelter of your unfailing holy names. Let us live his words, follow in his footsteps, see him in our hearts. While we know that he is smiling, you are smiling, and fondly embracing, tears from both wetting the land. Remembering this, let us solace ourselves in each other's association. Begging your mercy. I especially want to thank you for your continuous association, Maharaj, every week. And we are really very, very grateful for your association and guidance. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tanda. So now, Abhiram Saka, you have your hand up. You want to say something?
Yes, Maharaj. Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Please accept my obeisances. All glories to Srila
Prabhupada.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Charu Maharaj Itinamine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishunyavadi Pashyatya Deshitarane. Maharaj, I lived in Charlotte when Bhakti Charu Maharaj was here, but unfortunately I was not connected to the movement, and I'm such an unfortunate soul that my family, we could never see him when he was here for more than a year. And when his retreat happened last year, again, I missed that opportunity. I was in India, in Vrindavan, and I could not participate in that retreat. So the personal association I had with Maharaj was mainly in terms of administration. We sought his help and advice and guidance on two matters. And in both the matters, Maharaj was very, very clear and demonstrated us how we need to be loyal to Srila Prabhupada's movement, ISKCON, the GBC, the structure which Prabhupada has created for us, so that we can live amicably, even though we may have some difference of opinions or different ideas about certain things, but how we can align ourselves to continue the motion, the mission which Srila Prabhupada has given to us. And both the time I felt, no matter what subject we take it to him, no matter what is the issue or the root cause, but the solution for that is to work unitedly, to work cohesively in continuing the mission which is given to us by Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has given this clearly, and Bhakti Charu Maharaj was one of that exemplary in front of us model, role model, who gave us that we have to work in making this mission. And even in this pandemic, he continued that mission, coming to the battleground, coming to this area where we have all the cases rising up every day. And he gave up his life fighting for that mission. And when we see that, when we hear that, when we experience that, that gives us some kind of motivation, some kind of encouragement to come out of our shell and go out and do preaching, do continuous work in achieving that, what Srila Prabhupada has asked us to do. And that's all I wanted to say, Maharaj. Means it is very, very heartening, disheartening that we are losing him. But at the same time, his work, his direction, his instructions will always be with us. And that will be the greatest homage we can offer him, that continue the torch which he has lighted for us. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you very much, Abhiram. So next we have Sumukh in Fiji.
Hare Krishna. Can you hear me, Gurudev?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. Well, about His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he came to Fiji, and in the temple we came to have a reception of him, and he just got out of the car, and he came up, and all the devotee came and they bowed out to him. And I also went there and bowed out to him. And as soon as I bowed out, when I get up, he actually hugged me, Gurudev. And he not only me, all other devotees who were there, he hugged all of them. For me, he's the only ISKCON OSKCON initiative guru who actually hugged a rascal like me. You know, he was so down to earth, Maharaj. No, Guru Maharaj, he was so down to earth. You know, I feel really, not worthy of, hugging him. And he actually really hugged me, Gurudev. It was so kind of him. And I remember when we went for the pilgrimage to India in 2007, and I saw him also hugging you at Chota Gopina Temple. Sudharma Mataji has actually talked about that already. Then we went to a temple in Ujjain, and he was not there at that time in 2007. But his disciples, never let us feel that he's not present there. And he was his disciples. This one devote disciple. His name is Vishnu Charan Prabhu, and this disciple, he came to Ujjain on a business trip. And I mean, he told me that as soon as he did this there, and he felt like that, this is his home, and he never left the place after that. And Maharaj gave him the in charge of looking after the devotees. And we were there, all of us, the trip, there was about 13 of us. We went to his guest house, which is actually building up. The top story was about to, they were building up holos they were supposed to build. And at the second, third floor, we were supposed to stay. And he actually gave us so nice accommodation. And at night time or 9 o'clock, he used to bring the milk for us. And I asked him, is this a buffalo milk or cow milk? Because in Fiji, we never drank any buffalo milk. And it was very hard for us to take the buffalo milk in India. And we had upset our stomach. But he said, this is cow milk. And he served us so nicely, And I feel like, Maharaj was there. Mm-hmm. He was so caring and nicely. he's so kind-hearted. All the disciples, you can see the guru in the disciples, the mood the disciples serve. And also we went to Maheshwaram, visiting all the Lord Shiva's temple and also we went to Sandipani Muni's ashram. And these disciples, we left around 4 after the Mangalarti, 5 o'clock. And, the disciples of Maharaj, they woke up around 1 o'clock and they prepared the meals for us. So we went for the program. The vehicle stopped at 7 o'clock. And there's the place, anywhere the place, clean the place and put the mat. We sat down together, we had a breakfast. A nice, like a Rajbhog breakfast. Then after that, after visiting other places, the midday came. And after midday, they took another recipe of the meals cooked inside. They kept it. Then evening, another recipe. They cooked everything in the morning, 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock. Three Rajbhog meals of different recipes, and for us, so great disciples Maharaj has, and I'm so indebted to them. How they treated us very nicely. And then Maharaj came to Fiji. Then he also talked about, we had a seminar here in Fiji at one of the resorts, Novotel Resort, and he spoke actually about pure devotional service, and he said that pure devotional service gets rid of all material miseries. It was so nice of him. I'm so saddened that he has left us. I wish we could see him again in Fiji. Thank you, Gurudev.
Haribol, Sumuk, thank you very much. And Kalyan is the next. Kalyan or Govinda Lilamrita, you have your hand up. You've got to take yourself off of mute. You're on mute. Govinda, okay.
Hare Krishna.
Haribol, I can
Hare
hear you.
Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj, all glories to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, all glories to His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and all glories to you. Thank you so much for your talk, because it pacified our hearts. This morning, we've been heartbroken and we cried. But when we hear your words, we feel just a little easier, a little lighter in the heart. I would like to say about His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj that he was one of my most favorite sannyasis in ISKCON, and that I'm eternally grateful how much he had done for me. Thanks to him, I saw the spiritual world, meaning 9 months living in Juhu Temple, the temple that I came to really love. And I would mention one event with Bhakti Charu Maharaj. That was 2002 in Juhu Temple in Srila Prabhupada's quarters on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. And His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj was saying pastimes lilas with Srila Prabhupada. And he started to cry. He started to cry and he said, Srila Prabhupada, when I met you, that was the best thing that happened in my life. And he spoke how Srila Prabhupada changed the life of so many young devotees who really were ready to give everything for him, to serve him. And I cannot forget that, because he spoke that offering with so much love. And after so many years, maybe after 20 years, I remember like it was yesterday. And just before all these things happened with his coming to America, I would say to my husband, hey, Kalyanji, are you aware how special is your Guru Maharaj? How very, very special. Are you aware how blessed you are? And I would always say, those are three most important people in our life. My Diksha Guru, your Diksha Guru, and His Holiness Bir Krishna Maharaj. And now one of them left us. and we are heartbroken, but what gives us solace is that Srila Prabhupada called you, and you, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, we know how much you love Srila Prabhupada. And we know that since you put Srila Prabhupada's body in his samadhi and you did not want to go up, you wanted to stay there with him. And you served him so perfectly throughout your whole life. And you did so amazing, huge, genius projects. And we are sure that Srila Prabhupada actually also called you because Srila Prabhupada also missed you. But there are so many endless lilas with His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. You know, you always used to encourage me. You used to call me Govinda. Not only that, I would take prasadam wherever you see me, you know, throughout the world, Switzerland, Europe, America, India. But you would also encourage me, Govinda, did you take your sweets? Because you just knew how much I love to eat sweets. And now, today was a huge shock. But as a devotees, we should really see as a Krishna's willing, as Srila Prabhupada calling you. And this is really awakening for us to become better devotees. Because when you last time was here in this area, Hillsboro, and when we accompany you on the train station, you were traveling by train, and all the devotees gather to accompany you, and somebody asks you, Guru Maharaj, what would be your last instruction now for us? And you said, just become better devotees. And that was your instruction. That was your instruction. And we can never forget your love, your support, your beautiful, beautiful, compassionate nature. And we are just so fortunate that we came to know you. And just today I was thinking that with you, dear Bhakti Charu Maharaj, I had more personal association, I had more interaction, I had more than with my own Diksha Guru, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. So please, whenever you are, think about us and keep us close to your lotus feet. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Govinda Lilamrita. So, Mother Irmala, there's a way to actually raise your hand, Mother Irmala, but you do it the formal way, but I accept this time. Okay. So, Irmala wants to say something.
How do I raise my hand?
It's very, very easy.
There's another way.
Not like that. You can go into the window. There's several ways. I'll tell you later.
I'm looking at more. There's no more.
I can show you how to do it later.
Oh, this one? No, there's a clap and there's a thumbs up.
No. That's not it. I'll tell you later.
I don't know how to take that off.
Oh, now you got to clap. Anyway, so what? Why don't you say something? I'll take your clap off.
So in 1986, our family went to India. It was the first time we'd gone anywhere in India out of Vrindavan. We went for Lord Chaitanya's 500th anniversary. So we had, Murari was 11 and Champaka was 7. Keshava stayed with the Purva and Kamalini back in the States. And we had just come from traveling in South India. We were shopping for all the devotees in Detroit. So we had lots and lots of big suitcases. And we were on a train from Jagannath Puri to Calcutta, an overnight train, with the idea that we were going to Mayapur Dham. And we'd never been to any of those places before. So we wake up in the morning on the train, and there's Bhakti Tiruswami. We'd never met him before. He didn't know us. We'd ever had anything to do with him. And in those days, in 1986, there was a very anti-grihasta, anti-woman sentiment in my But Bhakti Tiruswami immediately, like, he didn't know us, you know, at all. And here he sees this grihasta couple with two kids and a tremendous amount of big suitcases. And he just said, I'll take care of you. So we get off at the train in Calcutta. And again, we had never met him before. And he arranged for the porters, you know, the coolies, to carry all of our suitcases. He arranged for us to get a ride to a devotee's house without charge. He just took care of it, where we could bathe and get prasadam. And then he arranged for a free ride for us to go from there to Mayapuram. I mean, he basically took care of us as if we were his family, or as if we were his invited, honored guests to Mayapur Dham. I mean, just, and we were neither. And we were just so amazed and overwhelmed and grateful that that anybody would be like that. It wasn't, sorry to say, it wasn't the usual the usual thing that we were accustomed to finding. And, you know, it was just completely astonishing that somebody would have that level of culture and that level of love. And it was, that wasn't a one-off thing. It was the way that Bhakti Chiru Swami dealt with us all the way through. Whenever, you know, he took our youngest son, Kesha, under his wing in making the Abhay Charan film. You know, Kesha worked with him for many, many months in India when he was 16. And it was just this very giving, loving thing. You know, when Prabhupada talks about ISKCON being a society, a family of love and trust, that's, I have to say, frankly, that's not always our experience. But with Bhakti Chiru Swami, it was always our experience. I mean, when he really treated you like you were an intimate family member with love and trust. And that's, it's pretty special, you know, and if we could all do that, if I could do that, then I don't think it would be very hard to convince people to take up Krishna consciousness, because I don't think it's just a matter of philosophy, but it's a matter of what kind of culture that we show and what kind of relationships that we show. So. I have other stories, but that one always stuck with me as just something very strange.
Okay. Thank you very much. And so there'll be more opportunity, I think, over the next few days, if everyone likes this, we can continue with this sort of memory type of exchange. And tomorrow morning, what I was thinking I would do tomorrow morning in our class, which is tomorrow evening, where you are in New Zealand and Australia, that I would read from Bhakti Chiru Maharaj's Ocean of Mercy. And you can see, by reading from this, you can see how close a relationship Bhakti Chiru Maharaj had with Srila Prabhupada. It's quite a wonderful book. And I thought that would be appropriate tomorrow morning in class to read from. And then tomorrow afternoon, during our Sunday program, which is traditionally called the Sunday Feast, we would allow devotees in person. I think many of Bhakti Chiru Maharaj's disciples will be coming to the temple. We'll be having social distancing, not inside the temple, because we don't want to risk any other Vaishnava's life. So we're going to be doing this outside if the weather cooperates, and I'm not sure if we're going to be able to broadcast it. We'll have an internet signal outside where we're going to be doing it. But in any case, any of you who are in the area are welcome to come to the program. It'll be safe because everybody will be socially distant, and we're going to have a Pushpanjali and Arti for His Holiness Bhakti Chiru Maharaj. So it's very, very important, actually, this time of remembering a great pure Vaishnava is extremely important for us. As I stated before, we don't lament for the pure Vaishnava, because the pure Vaishnava, such as Bhakti Chiru Maharaj, is now with Krishna, and everything that happened to him is part of Krishna's plan. But we're lamenting experiencing separation from this Vaishnava, and that lamentation can help us, if we focus it properly, to advance in devotional service and imbibe the same sort of spiritual qualities that we're hearing that Bhakti Chuu Maharaj had. Of course, we can't imitate, but at the same time, by hearing about these qualities, it can actually inspire us to come up to a higher standard of devotional service. So anyway, thank you all very much for joining us, and there'll be more opportunities. My condolences to everybody. And chant Hare Krishna and be absorbed in Krishna's name and be absorbed in serving Srila Prabhupada's mission as Bhakti Chuu Maharaj is. Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Prabhupada Ki Jai.